Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Qualcomm Snapdragon Gigabit LTE. To learn more about fiber optic download speeds on a smartphone, go to snapdragon.com/gigabit. And by LegalZoom. Grow your business and let LegalZoom help out with the legal stuff. For special savings, visit LegalZoom.com and enter AAA in the referral box at checkout. And by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com/AAA to save 20% off any order. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 334, recorded on Tuesday, September 12th, 2017. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
You made it, Victor.
You're not an emoji, by the way.
No, I'm not. As much as people might think that I am because my face contorts into weird ways.
Mine can too. I understand that life.
From time to time. It's okay, Victor. Don't worry about it. You'll have plenty more opportunities to work on this. Joining us today, actually someone who I can't believe it's been this long getting him on the show, but Ant Pruitt, TechRepublic.com, also photographer, drone enthusiast, and all around good guy. How's it going, Ant?
Unbelievable as always. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I thought that was a 240 frames per second roll there for us.
It was slow motion, TriCaster, new feature. Sometimes it takes a while to talk. Sometimes that just happens. Flo can attest. I do that in person. We're talking and suddenly I slow down to a crawl. Yeah. It's like time stops. And tell us a little bit about the writing that you do for Tech Republic and kind of what keeps you busy.
Well, I'm a freelance contributor to Tech Republic and a few other people such as Groovy Post and The Right People. I like to just talk about consumer technology and break it down for the regular person, you know. And I've been doing a lot of focus more so on the photography world and drones.
Nice. And I know over the years, I mean, you've been can probably safely say you've been a fan of the show because you've been very vocal, very active in the community and everything. Yeah. And so it's definitely awesome to finally bring you on in this capacity. What is your phone? What's the phone that you own and operate at this point?
As a content creator, you got to go Pixel XL.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Cool. Well, it's great to get you on. We're going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to be discussing some of the bugs that are appearing in people's Oreo installations.
Ew.
Pick out those bugs from the Oreo. Google's possible buyout of HTC, that might be coming up. That's a rumor.
Just such a juicy, delicious burger rumor.
Okay, excellent. that makes it perfect for the show. Ron's review of the Moto Z2 Force, the Xiaomi Mi Mix 2, hard to say really fast, how Red is going to pull off its holographic display, and a whole lot more. But before we get into the news, we've got to do the Oreo cookie roundup. And today...
And I'm here today.
You're here today, so you get to reap the benefits of
I'm
this.
I'm very excited for
let's
this.
Let's see. I don't know
what
flavor it is.
This particular model is called...
What's the flavor?
The birthday cake flavor.
Yay!
Oh, you see, you had a hard time last week with the coconut. I'm going to make a prediction. You're going to really like the birthday cake flavor.
It kind of seems like it would make sense.
Yeah,
it's probably the just coconut extra sugar.
The coconut just didn't work for me.
All right.
You can see if you take a look, you can see little sprinkles of color.
Open it.
My kids, if they make a cake and they do the frosting, they want to pour a ton of sprinkles on. That's why this cookie is probably going to work.
Here you go, Flo. I can smell the frosting.
You can be the one to sample the birthday cake Oreo and let us all know about it.
Can I show you something first?
Sure.
Although,
is this your technique?
Well, yeah, but we have to sample. Well, no, I'll just do it for you.
You do it, and I'm probably going to eat one too because I want to know.
All right, let's see if I can still do this.
Okay. Is that your Oreo face?
Hold on.
Okay.
Oh, I wish I'd screenshot that.
Okay, so I don't understand what you're doing.
It makes a Batman.
Oh.
She's obsessed with the Batman thing, Batman. By the way.
Wait a
minute. That's weird. I'll be honest, it's weird.
Okay, guys, I used to have buck teeth before I had braces, so this was a lot easier when I was in third grade.
Your teeth are far too straight now to pull off Batman on an Oreo cookie, all right?
More like really Abe Lincoln penny or something.
It's what is the thing where it's the ink blot and you can really Rorschach test? Yeah. Okay, so I will go ahead and try. But have you had the birthday cake Oreo before?
Really good.
Oh wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it's actually pretty good. Super sweet, which I realize is to be expected when it's an Oreo cookie.
That was so yummy.
Yeah, it's kind of like eating frosting.
I really missed Oreos.
Well, welcome. Welcome back to the studio where you will eat
Oreos. I miss my Oreos, too.
The whole sleeve as a kid.
What? Oh, yeah, me too. What Oreos did you have in that sleeve there, Ant?
Oh, that was just the regular ones. I'm old school.
Yeah. I can understand. I don't know if I would ever buy any of the extra flavors if we weren't doing this stunt on All About Android every single week. So I would say, you know, if I had to rate the birthday cake Oreo, I'd give it, I don't know, a B.
That was so good.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yes, that tasted like an Oreo birthday cake.
Burke, I see. Can't help himself. He's down there picking out.
I called it. I said you guys were going to enjoy the birthday cake, and you did.
Yet again, though, it would be better if I had a glass of milk
Maybe next week you have the milk on hand, so you're ready to go.
I'll bring lactose-free milk.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all I can drink.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got almond milk, but that's just not the same.
No, you can't do that. You have to get the consistency and everything.
Yeah, it's a consistency thing.
Also,
for sure.
I just want to say,
yeah?
Whatever new recipe is going on with this Oreo, I think that's why I couldn't do my Batman signal, because Oreos used to be a little more like powdery and actually stick to the cookie. This is like a sugar patty that just slides right off.
Yeah, it just lifts off. It's almost like they know that some people, what they do with an Oreo cookie is that they take it off and combine it all.
But that's unfair. Why would they do that? Or it's because these are the new flavors. And they're kind of taking the half road to make these.
Yeah, or it could just be the fact that Oreo probably isn't even actually food. So
that hurts my soul. Don't say that.
It's more fake than real.
Saying Android's more fake than real? Because I would beg to differ.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not gonna carry that over into the world of Android.
All right,
Victor. I hope you're ready for this. It's time for the news.
Nothing new significant came out today, announcement wise. So move on to Android news.
That's right.
Nothing significant.
No fruity company had anything to say today.
Nope.
Uh-oh.
Nope. Boring. Nothing.
Whatever.
Nothing happening.
We're not even going to talk about it. Instead, we're going to talk about this rumor. Top story.
We're going to talk about a rumor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Google should totally buy a hardware company. What do you think?
Again?
It would make a lot of sense. Yeah. Listen, they had Motorola. They learned lessons. That was a long time ago, a different leadership. I think they're ready to get back in the pool.
All right. Well, we will see. Yeah. Digitimes says that sources are bubbling up saying that HTC, a company that we've talked about many times, a hardware company that we love, that has a rich history in Android,
started
but is floundering.
Started some of our loves for Android.
Yes.
Started my love for Android.
Kindled our flame for Android. Is in the final stage of negotiating a sale of the company to Google. So HTC going to Google, although that would not, according to this rumor, I will emphasize rumor, include the HTC Vive, the VR unit of HTC's that's been pretty successful. That would not include that.
I don't think it can. I would imagine because it's Valve.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. Maybe.
It's funny because we talked about the potential of HTC looking for buyers and pondering selling off Vive. And I believe I said that wouldn't make any sense because Vive seems like the only exciting thing going on at HTC. Mm-hmm. So this is almost the inverse of that, where they're going to sell the business unit that is failing in the phone unit and focus on the VR unit, which I think makes sense.
Or maybe they sell off the Vive to a different buyer, you know what I mean, and get out entirely. Who knows?
I think they should double down on the Vives.
You think who should, HTC or Google?
HTC. I think they should double down on the Vive and go ahead and allow someone to come in and take over their phone.
And yeah. keep the phone business going and try it for the umpteenth time to make it work. Which is not, I mean, that's not crazy. We all want to see HTC thrive. But a buyout from Google actually makes a little bit of sense, right? Because the Pixel is the in-house brand. And it's very, at least last year's Pixel was by and large created by HTC.
You and I are still using our Pixels on the show, which I just want to say I feel like is a testament to the fact that we're using these. We could be using any other of the millions of phones that have come out this year. We're using the Pixels.
I will add to that because I was going to say it during the hardware block when I talked about the Moto, but I'm eventually going to have to send the Moto Z2 Force back to Motorola because it's the review unit. And afterwards, I had the choice of either going back to my Nextbit Robin or to this nice shiny Pixel that I now have in my possession. I too will be in the Pixel army for a little bit of time at least.
What a difficult choice that must have been. Go back to the Robin or go to this Pixel that I have here? Dang.
That'll be a tease for the hardware block. I will expand more on that. But yeah, I mean, the Pixel's a great phone, and I think that HTC has some good DNA to them as a phone manufacturer. They failed in market penetration and in marketing and on the far end of the chain. And Google has got a great brand. They've got a huge marketing behind them, and they don't have the supply chain behind them to provide hardware. So when you lay out the cards on the table, it makes a lot of sense.
HTC does have some DNA. It has the Droid DNA, if I remember correctly. That was actually the first HD screen that I fell in love with. And do you think this makes more sense than Google once owning Motorola and a few years later selling that off? Like, do you think this would see the same fate or would this be different?
No, I think it would be different because it's a lesson learned kind of thing from Google's perspective. At least that's what you'd hope. And HTC, they have that history with hardware. And in my opinion, Ron, I think at one time they were doing pretty well as a leader.
Yeah.
But then just sort of stagnated and got behind with some of their innovation, let alone the marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and let's not forget who works at Google, Flo.
Rick Osterloh.
Exactly.
Hardware.
So don't you think HTC and Rick Osterloh's hands would thrive?
Just gonna
almost
take HTC and just kind of rock it back and forth.
It's like Rick Osterloh is the cookie. And HTC is the frosting.
That's a much better metaphor than what I was going for.
And they go together. They work. It's delicious.
I want to give Jason bonus points for fantastic Oreo analogies.
I wholeheartedly agree.
I'm going to milk this for all it's worth.
Oh my gosh. He just keeps going.
And getting two steps backwards.
What are you, a dad or something?
Yeah. All right, Flo, you got the next one.
So this is interesting. This exists inside the Android O of now. Excuse me, the Android Oreo. I still refer to it as O because I forget that it was called Oreo, even though I just ate one. Where am I going? Have you guys heard that OEMs are now required to implement Android Oreo's strict background app limitations, which, quite frankly, is very great for Z users. Mm-hmm. So Android Oreo's compatibility definition document reveals that OEMs are required to implement Oreo's new background app limitations, which includes rate limiting the background frequency of updates to the app. This also includes stopping an app's background processes unless it's been placed on a temporary whitelist to manage a user visible task. And I apologize that I keep going in and out, but my notes are being very annoying with the whole scrolling. It's very hard to get to the whole point here. This also includes releasing wake locks held by the app. And we all know OEMs have done their own tweaks to background app management, kind of with mixed results. I mean, I know pretty much any heavy skin out there has some background management processing going on there.
Yeah.
Not always the best. I would say on Samsung phones, it's pretty legitimate. It's pretty good.
Hasn't always been that way.
I would say on maybe some cheaper phones, it's not that good, and I would love to just see Google be the only, you know, limiter place.
Google's closer to the core of Android to probably make a better determination, or at least Google would think so, make a better determination for the user as far as what is reasonable for apps to manage in the background and what is not. And I think this is kind of a trend that we're seeing. We see it with Project Treble.
Yes.
We see it with this, where Google, you know, in the past has rolled out these features that would be very important, useful, headline-grabbing features, and then you realize that no OEMs actually end up implementing it because it's not a required, mandatory thing in installing Android. It's supported, but it's not required. And it seems like more and more Google is saying, no, we want to improve the Android experience, so this is required.
So these last two stories that we just talked about are all about Google taking back control of its operating system. I mean, mm-hmm. with like the rumor of buying a hardware company, I mean, that's completely in Google's favor. That gives them more control over things like specialized features that you can do on a phone. I mean, you don't want just like a bare bones camera app on the Pixel. Like maybe in the next couple of Pixels have something a little more robust, mm-hmm. you know, something a little more specialized. You don't want OEMs just going rampant with your source code. You want people to have a good experience with the phones that they're using, because ultimately, if there's the Android branding on it, there's the Google branding
right.
on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's like sending your kids off to school. You want them to be the best representation of you as a parent.
Mm-hmm. You want them to be a traditional Oreo cookie and not a coconut Oreo cookie.
Absolutely not a cocoa nut cookie.
That's true.
Seems like we've been hearing this stuff, at least from my point of view, since about, ice cream sandwich mm-hmm. and or maybe Jelly Bean, where Google in its wisdom was like, you know, we're going to do the OS this way to try to unify things. And how many years ago was that? And we still talk about fragmentation issues, and we still talk about skins draining batteries and rogue processes in the background. I mean, this has been a long time coming. Why should I believe this is going to happen anytime soon?
Well, that's a good question, because, I mean, I feel like there have been issues. Like there was this, the system partition aspect of Nougat that sounded great, where, you know, it would kind of do this background update so that there would be no time at all on the next reboot after your system updates with the new update and everything would be a lot faster. That sounded great, and that seemed like a really big, you know, inclusion for Nougat. And it was, if you had a Pixel device. Anybody else, any of the other OEMs, they weren't held to the standard of supporting that. Therefore, they pretty much opted not to. I don't know what the business reason was for that. Maybe it's just too complicated. It wasn't in the roadmap, too much work. Whatever it is, Google brought in these features that would make Android better for all users. And no one adopted it because they weren't held to that standard. I feel like Google saying you can't update to Oreo unless you allow us manage the background, you know, background app control. I think maybe this time that's a little bit different, right? Because the OEMs can't sidestep that. It's in the rules that says they have to implement it the way that Google is saying. And that's actually a lot of power that's being removed from their hands and put into Google's hands. So I wonder how they feel about that.
And I'm pretty sure Tizen's going to come up.
Tizen.
And I got to imagine that Google's experimentation in this area with the Pixel and with the phones that they do control are the precedents or the evidence that shows why the OEM should agree to this. You know, I bet you know, going out there and saying you need to do this, and we have no data saying that it'll make the phone, you know, it'll improve things or make things better. Versus, hey, we did this on the phones we control. This is what we saw. So now you need to do it. Probably makes it easier for the OEMs to swallow in terms of accepting
it. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so.
Unless the OEMs are doing a lot of data collection and has their ways of running stuff in the background for said data collection.
And sending it to China.
Exactly.
Which or Russia.
Has been known to happen.
Sorry. Yep.
So,
or my house. You could be sending it to me. I'm taking all of your information.
Not true. Don't listen to Flo.
Flo's got a data farm running in her basement.
I've got this new plan. I'm going to make a lot of money.
Hey, we tried Bitcoin.
Data mining.
Didn't make anything.
Well, so there have been some other kind of interesting Oreo news, but more affecting directly affecting users. Oreo appears to be a bit buggy when it comes to handling mobile data and Wi-Fi data. I saw a lot of people kind of complaining about this over the last week and over the weekend and stuff. There's some examples of this is that some people have seen a change in how their device chooses to use mobile data over the Wi-Fi that they're connected to. And it can be an expensive, it can be a super expensive bug for people who've got limited or expensive mobile data plans. You really want to control which network you're connecting to, whether you're cellular or your Wi-Fi. In the developer settings, there's a setting called mobile data always active, and it's toggled on by default in Oreo. This used to be toggled off. And Google is aware of this and working on a fix. You think the fix would just be to toggle it off again, but who am I to, you know, cast aspersions?
But this is a developer menu, right? You don't even know that that's there. Most of the users don't even know that that exists. That they have to.
They got to tap eight times and then spin around in a circle, right? Yeah. So the other problem that people are seeing is that some folks are finding. You put your pixel in, you take your pixel out, you put your pixel in, and then you shake it all about. Some other users are finding off discovered a bug that turns off mobile data once it believes a data limit has been reached by the carrier. The problem is that some apps like WhatsApp are zero rated and should still work. Instead, Oreo is disabling it entirely. And this has something to do with the carrier features in certain countries and not settings inside Oreo. And of course, also Google is aware and working on a fix of this as well. So so a little bumpy road as we get Oreo starting to roll out to devices. What do you make of all this? Has anybody on your Pixel run into this? Ann, have you run into this? Or
I checked mine out and it had that setting ticked. And what bugs me is if this is an incremental update to the operating system, you would assume that you had a baseline of what you were going to work with in the previous version of the OS. How do you miss this and say, oh crap, that's a bug, we need to go back and catch that? You know, that just didn't make any sense to me.
I'm just checking now because I hadn't checked because I'd been using the Essential phone for the last little while. And sure enough, on Oreo, it's on mobile data always active. Now, I mean, but there is something to know about this. Like what I'm unclear on is, like, I'm sure if I was to check my data and Wi-Fi usage, which I could probably do right now, actually, because we're talking about it, I'm guessing it's not going to be too out of whack, right? Let's see here. Data usage, would it be this? Mobile
Someone
data.
Like me, it wouldn't be too bad. I work from home all day, so I'm on Wi-Fi, but, 18 hours a day, if you will.
Someone like me, so I have an unlimited data plan with T-Mobile, but I do have... I do have the limit detector in Android to tell me when I'm going above 9 gig, and I hit that monthly.
Okay.
Like I'm out. I commute. I'm downloading podcasts. I'm watching video. I'm on trains. I take the train out to Long Island. I'm watching something. I use a lot of data. But I don't care because I have an unlimited plan. If I didn't have an unlimited plan, that would be a big problem.
Right. Well, I wonder if just having this active is enough to force it. Because, like, if I've had this active and my mobile data isn't, like, way out of whack compared to my Wi-Fi, then that tells me that it isn't just this trigger. Like, switching this off might fix the problem for those who it's happening for. But if it's on, what is it about the operation of that phone that's telling the OS, we've got access to both, but let's opt for mobile data instead of Wi-Fi when it isn't telling my phone to do that? Is that right? Maybe it's a Wi-Fi health issue? Like, this isn't a very, a different determination on what a good Wi-Fi connection is. And when it has any question whatsoever, it opts to do that. I don't know. But regardless, Google is working on a fix.
They're working on a fix. I want to make a t-shirt that says, aware of it, working on a fix.
Working on a fix. And finally, as we kind of dive into things that aren't quite so perfect Oreo here, another feature of Oreo that I was looking forward to is the new autofill API.
I am using it like all the time.
Yeah. And
the punchline.
So autofill API for third-party password managers, which is essentially a replacement for what you've had to do in the past, which is use accessibility feature to do autofill into apps and everything. And it was always listening in the background. In Oreo, Google implemented a kind of an API that gives you access to the same feature that its smart lock for passwords has been using. So autofill for third-party password managers is more integrated in the system on a system level and not kind of the hacky accessibility job that was done before. Well, of course, as as is usually the case these days, I'm just so used to reading about this type of stuff. Apparently, the API can leak more data than users are giving it permission to. A malicious app, for example, could ask for legitimate access to a piece of the autofill data, if I understood this correctly. And there's an article on XDA that describes this. While that's happening, a hidden widget could get access to data that the user didn't sign off on. And essentially, it kind of boils down to the idea that third-party password managers might lump all of the information, be it password, credit card numbers, blah, 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 into a single partition, as opposed to partitioning it out so that an app would only serve up passwords in one example, login IDs in another example, and they'd all be in their own partition so that it's not an all or nothing sort of thing. And apparently, Google hasn't posted an official solution on this. Commonsware says, advises that autofill providers should be partitioning their data instead of keeping it all in one pool. 1Password, NPass, and LastPass are all doing this properly, so they're all secure in this regard. So yay for that. Something to consider.
Yeah. Well, there's gonna be some bumps as you figure out a new API, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
As long as it gets identified and fixed very quickly, all right.
Right.
Aware of it, working on a fix.
No, working on a fix. We're zeroing in on a new title.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, so are we? Well, I don't know, Ron. Have you been using your Pixel very much?
Because I'm still using the Moto Z2 Force as my daily driver, okay. But I've got this on Wi-Fi and I'm using it in the house and things like that. So I haven't taken it really out into the world as of yet.
And you have our Oreo on that. And
yes.
I'm assuming, Ant, you've been updated to Oreo at this point. You've been updated to Oreo.
Yes,
have you guys used this API, the autofill API with password managers?
Oh, not with a password manager. Why?
Just with Google.
I don't use password managers.
I mean...
Whoa, back up. Ant just made a confession that we need to address.
Yeah.
You don't use password
Shocks
managers?
The world. I don't use a password manager.
Why not?
Why?
I have no real legitimate reason.
Life is complicated.
I was going to say, I have a legitimate reason. I cannot remember which incarnation version of a capitalized special character password I have on iTunes. And so I need a password manager to keep track of that every time I change it because Apple makes me change it a million times.
Yeah.
I have my moments here and there, but most of the time I do all right with passwords. I don't know why. Maybe it's a Rain Man gene that I have, but most of the time I do all right with my passwords.
Well, I mean, if you're practicing safe password and you know you keep it fresh and don't duplicate across multiple services and you can keep track of that, that's probably more secure than storing
just
it.
Change
in
it a bunch.
Manager.
Just keep forgetting it and changing it, and then nobody will be able to hack into it.
I will be honest.
I do have a change in season, if you will.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
like a time.
So you have a system that works for you. That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say that for years and years and years, Ann, I was the same way where I had like four or five different versions of passwords that I would use and change. I was great about remembering them, but I'm getting older. And Jason, you turned me on to LastPass and I've never looked back. And I've even, you know, I've evangelized it to other people because it's just like, you know, the combination of storing the password, but then also stop using the versions of the same password and coming up with a random string is so much more secure in my mind. It's been great for me, but to each their own.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I just have to say from my own experience, because I've used it a lot, you know, I mean, I'm a LastPass user and I was really looking forward to this API implementation. I've not been that impressed. Like, it apparently it's not as compatible with Chrome at this point. It's kind of still a beta in the works, which, you know, welcome to the world of Google and Android. But, you know, it doesn't fill into Chrome the way I was used to prior. There are many times where I like load up an app and I know I've got a password installed in LastPass and it just doesn't catch the field. And so I have to like literally launch the LastPass app long form, just go to my app tray, launch it. go in there, copy the password. It's a whole process instead of it just kind of working. It's been really janky for me. So I hope it improves. And if it's beta, it will improve. But right now, yeah. I liked it the old way better.
We all did. I liked Oreo the old way, but they had to change the freaking formula, so I don't know what to tell you.
Well, no, hang on, Flo. Before you talk about that, you're talking about the birthday cake Oreo. You need to get some control Oreos.
Yeah,
you need
I do.
To get some original Oreos to see if there's a difference, because you might be reacting to whatever not food chemicals are in
marketing.
There to make it taste like a birthday cake.
Yes. There's placebo. Maybe an ounce of real food in there.
So good.
Else is fake.
They smell like middle school. They smell like Claire's accessories. It smells so good.
So Claire's accessories.
No, they do. Oh, they smell like Claire. Like,
believe me, I've been into Claire's my fair share with my kids.
Well, there's a cotton candy perfume that was very popular during that time, and it smells like that.
All right. While we take in the odor of Oreo, let's
the odor of Oreo.
Let's take a minute and thank the sponsor of today's episode. Actually, a new sponsor. I'm super psyched because, I mean, hey, some of the best phones that we talk about on this show all the time have Snapdragon processors in them. This show is brought to you. Our sponsor is Qualcomm Snapdragon Gigabit LTE. We've all experienced the effects of cellular network congestion. When you're in a crowded environment, for example, airports, shopping malls, all kinds of busy areas, your favorite apps, the apps that you rely on, become barely usable sometimes. And that's why Snapdragon Gigabit LTE was designed to deliver the fastest mobile connectivity and help speed things up in crowded places. With additional lanes for your data to flow on and the ability to squeeze more speed from each LTE connection, Snapdragon Gigabit LTE is like driving on a much wider, much faster data highway. Average LTE download speeds are up to 7 times faster than typical home Wi-Fi, and it can turbocharge all of your connected apps. You see a major difference. You can stream 360-degree video in YouTube VR and 4K resolution. You'll have minimal buffering or stuttering or non-existent. Access all of your files in the cloud nearly as fast as you would if they were stored on your phone. And that's kind of the dream of cloud storage right there. Download hours of movies or music in a matter of seconds. You can load Android Instant apps. Well, I mean, almost more instantly than instant in Instant apps. Really cool stuff. Make the most of your unlimited data plan. To learn more about faster network connections in crowded places, just go ahead and visit snapdragon.com/gigabit. That's snapdragon.com/gigabit. And we thank Qualcomm Snapdragon Gigabit LTE for their support of All About Android. Thank you, guys. It's great to have you on board. All right. We've got some hardware to discuss. Let's discuss. This is a little amuse-bouche before Ron's review. Tell us, Flo, about the Moto X4.
I'm so sorry, guys. I'm getting over the flu, and I'm trying to, like, stifle it. Anyway.
It's okay.
While I had the flu, actually, I saw a little leak come out from friend of the show slash notable leaker, Evie Leaks, which was the image of the Moto X4, which we actually saw at IFA.
Yeah.
But this wasn't just any Moto X4, because it had Android One branding on it, thus leading us to believe what the rumors are mongering, which is that Android One is coming to the United States as a phone available for purchase, and that this will be the phone that it will come loaded on.
Was the Moto, I'm asking, I didn't get a chance to look it up. Was the Moto X4, it was going to be released in the States initially, right?
Yeah.
So why, what is the difference then? Why would one be released and then the same phone would be released but with Android One branding in the same market? That's what I needed to dive into this a little bit more. Maybe we actually don't know that. All we know is that this is a phone with Android One.
Well, isn't the software on Android One a tiny bit different? And so it has to be optimized differently.
Okay.
And I'm assuming there's going to be some sort of carrier branding that maybe might come with it to sort of launch the
have
store
it on Boost or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yep. like an MVNO kind of carrier association.
To recap, it has things like compatibility with Amazon Alexa, which is what it says under specifications. The first thing it says on the site to show you what is being told, which is that it is compatible with Amazon Alexa. It is IP68 water resistant, and it has a dual rear camera system, which allows you to capture wide angle perspectives and stunning portraits. I love reading marketing copy, by the way.
You're so going optimistic. To love it.
You're going to love this.
That camera quarter is very Moto, but that's enormous in that rendering.
It is. And it's also got its own like sort of aesthetic going on.
Yeah,
with it too.
Right? It's got some texture around it. And yeah. Like, yeah, look at that. Like that is like, I did a double take because I thought maybe it was some sort of gears or something like that, but it's way more stylized than what's even on the Moto Z2. Yeah.
It's a rotating bezel for manual focus.
Look awesome.
what's that, Ant?
That's what's going to make all those photos look awesome. Mm-hmm. All of that extra etching on the outside of the lens.
Oh, yeah. That's that. That helps to kind of keep the light from hitting it full on. It splits the light before it hits the lens.
It's better than just being a boring slab of a phone.
That's true.
Like made of plastic.
Like most phones.
True.
Most phones of that category, but not like the phone that Ron has been playing around with and testing for a while. Tell us about your time with the Z2 Force.
Yeah, so as we mentioned a few weeks ago, the fine folks at Motorola sent me the Moto Z2 Force to kind of test drive. And they also, part of it was I was chatting with them about my being an advocate for modular phones and all the Moto mods. And I figured I should walk the walk for a little bit. So I've been using this now for maybe about 3 weeks or so. And I'll get into the details, but on first glance, I really like this phone. Like, I really like it. Like, it's like I kind of don't want to send it back. That's how much I like it. We've talked about it on the show recently, but it's, you know, in terms of, in terms of the Android implementation, you know, they sent me a version that was optimized for T-Mobile. So there's about six or so T-Mobile apps that came pre-installed. And then there's a few Moto apps, like, you know, kind of some apps that control the Moto mods and kind of a link to the whole Moto world. But aside from that, it's really close to stock. It feels very stocky. Like it when I opened it up, it had the Google search bar front and center, along with the little circular clock widget that comes from Moto phones. But the size is a little bigger than the Nexbit Robin that I was using. I got used to that very quickly. Even holding the Pixel, the regular Pixel in my hand next to the Moto Z2, the Pixel feels kind of small and not good, right? Which is kind of crazy. But in general, the form factor of the phone is great. It's very, very thin. I mean, just crazy thin, because that is helping for the Moto mods, right? Which we've seen. And Flo, you've had this phone in before, so we've had this on the show before.
I'm using it right now.
There you go. I think the Moto mods are great. They sent me the 360 camera, right? Which is with the little thing with the little protective nubbin that goes over the lens right there, right? Nubbin. They also sent me the battery pack, which is boring. It's in my bag. I'm not gonna show you guys. But they sent the JBL speaker kind of attachment, right? So, you know, if you if you're going out to the park or the beach or whatever. And then they also sent the projector, which is right here.
Wow, you got the whole kit almost.
I got the whole kit. These are awesome. I think the whole Moto Mod system is great. The pogo pins are great. The magnets are great. I never had a problem snapping one on or snapping them off. Once you snap them on, they kind of come to life on the phone and it automatically works. The speakers sound great. My real only complaint about the whole Moto Mod system is that I don't know where to put these all when I go out, right? And so, you know, like often when I'm going to work, I've got my bag with me with my laptop. I can throw them in the bag. That's fine. But like on a weekend, we're walking around, you know, like we're walking around New York City. We go in Central Park, decide to sit down. It'd be great to have music. Oh, I forgot the speakers, or I didn't bring the speakers, right? You know, who went like – and I get the idea of carrying the 360 camera, especially if you're big on the if you're big on photography and things like that, you might carry that around with you. I get even carrying the speakers because you never know when you might want to like listen to music or whatever. But who's going to carry around a projector when just in case you want to project something, right? Like that is a very specific use case. And unless you're planning for it, it really the bulkiness of the Moto Mods really limits the spontaneous nature of using them. Or you just carry a bag with you, or you carry a fanny pack. I did appreciate that the projector was the only one that came with a little pouch to put it in, while the other ones were just kind of out in the open. So I feel like this at least felt a little protected. So when I throw it in my bag, I kind of have it. So I love the whole idea of it. I love the whole implementation of it. I just found a practical use case of it. I'm not going to carry these around in my pocket and fill all my pockets with them at all times, right? Mm-hmm. Even the Moto battery pack mod, you know, I'm so used to, because the Nextbit Robin battery got so bad, I was so used to carrying an external battery in my bag. And so I'm like, oh, I'll just slide the battery pack in my back pocket and have it with me just in case. But it's as big as the phone. So when I'd sit down, I'd be afraid of breaking it and like all this sort of stuff. It didn't easily insert into my life to carry the battery around. Luckily, the battery life on this has been great. And I've only needed the battery pack like twice, I think, in the 3 weeks I've been using it. So that's very good. The big things that people care about is the cameras, right? So I actually made a little Google Photo album. Victor, I don't know if you want to click on that.
It's in the dock.
Yeah, it's right there. Yeah. So on here for reference. So generally, everyone knows, and if you follow me on Instagram, I'm not a great photographer, right? So this photo right here, it was taken with the Nextbit Robin. So that's for reference. So that's an example of a live music nightclub kind of photo. These are the kind of photos I like to take because I go see bands. And if you zoom in, the Nextbit Robin really does not take a very good picture in that environment, right? You can see, it was not good. Right. So then if you jump to the fourth picture, Victor, you can see a picture I took Sunday night with the Moto Z2. Well, that's my niece, Abby.
Hi, Abby.
That's my one more. I couldn't reorder the photos. There you go. So I took this picture Sunday night with the Moto Z2, and it's hard to tell with the zoom and with the browser or whatever, but this is a much crisper, much better picture. This happens to be of the Descendant. That.
Yeah,
the Descendants.
Oh, it's a better, man. Much better.
It's a better photo, right?
Better photo, and the Descendants.
Yeah,
and it's that the was Descendants. A good show. So, I know it was.
It was a great show. It was a lot of fun. So I was immediately impressed by the low light nightclub photos that I was able to take with this. But then if you slide back, Victor, there's a couple of outdoor photos that you can see. I took a picture at the Mets game the other day. Really nice. You know, it was right. You know, before sunset, so good light. That's a real pretty picture. And then going back one more, you see the picture of my niece that I took outside. That's my patio. I took that too. That's a picture of my niece in front of the marsh on Long Island. This is one of the first pictures I took with this phone. And I was like, wow.
It's really sharp.
This is way better than what I'm taking with the Nextbit Robin. Nice. And then if you go over to the last picture from the porch, I wanted to test the background being blurry, whatever that is, and that came out great. That's something I could never do on the Nextbit Robin. So all in all, thumbs up on the Moto Z2 Force. Like, if I didn't pick up this Pixel and if I was able to actually keep the Moto Z2 Force, I might use it as my daily driver. My only complaint, aside from the bulkiness, and I don't know if this will come off in the camera, but if you can see, I don't know, you can't really see it, but there is a protective plastic sheet on top of the display, and it's starting to peel up. I don't know if you can see that or not.
Oh,
the same thing was happening with my review unit. Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
It's that shatter shield.
Yep.
Right. That's what keeps the display from shattering. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. So, I mean, I don't, as we've documented, I don't use a case, and I shove my phone in my pocket and I take it out of the pocket, and I also carry keys on my belt loop, and I imagine that probably pulling the phone out of the pocket and coming up against the keys is causing that. But that's not the only spot. There's like all along the bottom of it, it's starting to peel up, and also along the top, and also similar to and a little bit on the sides. And similar to your experience with the Essential, Jason, I've got a bunch of micro scratches on the top, which I figure is just the whatchamacallit, is just, you know, your price of admission. I know in the chat room, Burke is yelling at me to peel it off. And for a moment, I was like, oh, was that like, is that a plastic peel? Like, was I supposed to take that off? But I don't think I'm supposed to take this off.
No. So,
yeah.
Nope. Don't do it, Ron.
No,
don't.
You're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's kind of a ding right there.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a ding. But all in all, I mean, go ahead.
If you peel that off, is it any different from the Nexus or Pixel XL or anything from far as a protection standpoint? It's just naked Gorilla Glass, right? Or is it not Gorilla Glass?
I don't think it's
Gorilla Glass because that's just one of the layers. I mean, basically, it's a shatterproof screen. So even with that on, yeah, right, in air quotes, it's more of a plasticky type display as opposed to glass, I think, throughout, right?
Yeah. So according to the GSM Arena specs for the phone, it's a POLED capacitive touchscreen, and it just says protection shatterproof. It's not Gorilla Glass.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah.
So it's not like a traditional screen protector.
So do not peel it off.
Yeah, I would say exactly. No, don't peel it off, yeah.
Now that said, it's not my phone, so I was like, ooh, let me stop here now. Let me be a little more careful with it.
Yeah.
If it was my phone, I might try peeling it off, and then I probably would regret it.
Then you'd regret it.
So maybe, maybe invest in a screen protector or some sort of another one that goes on top of it. But yeah, I mean, on a scale of like one to five, like five being the best, I give this like a solid 4.5. Like I really like this phone.
That's what I gave it.
Hmm. Oh, nice. There it is.
I need Motorola to send me one of those. I'd like to test that.
Sorry.
Oh, I said I need Motorola to send me one.
I wish they would. So you would know how it's a great phone. I mean, I really like it.
It's also a game console.
Look at that. Oh, nice. It's also a blender.
You have the game control mod.
Oh, that happened on camera. Yeah, I actually just got the gamepad and I decided to bring it today. I actually can't take it out of this, which maybe is a good thing.
It's permanent.
Yeah, sorry, Ron. I was quiet because I was playing Sonic over here on this little gamepad. This is the Moto gamepad, one of the Moto mods, the gamepad console, and it surprisingly works really well. I was just
That's
playing
awesome.
Sonic. It has a headphone jack, and it has an extra 1,035 milliamp of battery, and I died. On camera. Yeah, and you can use both joysticks to play through various games, apparently.
That is pretty slick.
Yeah, it's... I know, I played this game how many times?
Oh.
It's pretty neat. I think I'm gonna take this home and turn this into a little emulation.
I know, right? That's exactly what I'm thinking.
I wish they sent me that mod. I would totally. It looks like a Nintendo
Switch. It just
came
out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It makes it kind of like a Switch.
It actually just came out.
And it's $79.99.
$79.99.
Oh, you did it!
I always get stuck there.
Yeah, you gotta go slow. On
I
that
had
part.
There's the home button.
Man,
I had downloaded a couple games, then I realized there's no point, and some of these you can't play. Because they go vertical.
Oh yeah.
By default. Oh. So you can only play certain games. I don't know. I'll turn that into a little gamey thing. I just thought I'd bring it. In the bag, it looks like a Tesla.
Cool.
It does. Now, Flo, have you spent enough time with it from just gameplay time and felt the temperature rise up on it?
Oh no. I literally just popped it in as Ron started talking.
Oh, okay.
I just got it today. So
yeah, I would wonder if it heats.
But I will let you know as soon as I download some more games on this thing.
Cool. Load it up.
I mean, you think about like the Daydream and just how hot your devices get from, roughly 10 minutes.
The Z2 Force, I actually did some Daydream time with it. And I found it didn't get as hot, at least as the Z Force. Because that phone got really hot. That phone gets so hot, it would be hard to hold.
Yeah.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. That
this one,
that
though,
can take the fun
not
out
too
it.
Bad after a VR sesh. Just saying.
Nice.
Cool.
So Xiaomi Mi Mix, you remember this from last year? It was the first phone of this kind of latest current generation of devices to go bezel-less. Bezel-less TM. Now Xiaomi has unveiled the Mi Mix 2. They've changed things up a little
Ooh,
bit.
It's mixed.
What?
Look at that wallpaper. It's all mixed
they
colors.
Mixed all the
get
colors.
It?
Wait a minute. I didn't put two and two together, but there we go. 5.99-inch display down from 6.44-inch on the previous one. It has a ceramic back, rounded aluminum frame, 12-megapixel rear-facing camera with optical image stabilization. It does have the Snapdragon 835, 6 gigs of RAM, 3,400 milliamp hour battery, USB-C with no headphone jack there, so keep that in mind. It's not sold in the U.S., though it does support all U.S. LTE bands. So
what?
If you want,
what?
You could import this.
Didn't I see, Jason, didn't it pop up on Xiaomi's website, U.S. website?
I don't know. Did it? Is it up there?
I could have sworn some chatter on Twitter about that.
Xiaomi.com.
Well, maybe they're selling it.
While we're looking that up, can I just say that is a dang sexy phone.
It really is.
Like leading the charge in the bezel-less phone department, that is a dang sexy phone.
Can I say that is a dang sexy slippery looking phone?
Yeah,
it probably is.
Fingerprint laden phone. It'll look like the essential phone, or anytime anybody touches it, which is like a minefield of fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
Greasy, dirty fingerprints.
Yeah, gotta be okay with that.
I like the idea of 5.9-inch screen, but just looking at that and how thin that is, that just looks like dropsies all day.
Yeah, I mean. Yes, that is absolutely a consideration. And
right, it is not currently on their website now. It just says Mi Mix.
Oh, okay.
And the Mi Note 2 is there, but the Mi Mix is not there yet. It might have been a mix-up or something like that, but maybe it's coming back. We never know. Who knows? But
Mi Mix-up.
Yeah. It is on AliExpress. Pre-sale. Xiaomi Mi Mix 2.
Okay.
For $800 starting.
I feel like we need to add to the All About Android drinking game or bingo when Flo talks about AliExpress.
It's true. It should be on the bingo card.
Listen, I'm not going to China anytime soon, so I got to drop off the internet, all right?
You're keeping AliExpress in business, though. It's not just shopping off the internet.
Oh, it's not just me. It's also like 90%
of
Russia.
Of people.
I'll tell you guys someday about the Russian people that I follow also, like, because you can like post reviews and stuff on there, like Amazon. It's a fascinating world of its own.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway. Yes.
Crazy.
This was once again, by the way, designed by famous designer Philip Stark.
Yeah.
We talked about the
teaser that dude posted, right? Like that it was mm-hmm. coming.
Yep.
It's a dang sexy phone. I like it. You got the front facing cameras at the bottom, not the top, right? So you got no bump. That is a very pretty bezel-less phone.
Although you gotta, do the upside down thing in order to take a selfie, otherwise you're shooting up your nose. But there's that.
Well, unless you have a really cute nose, in which case keep shooting it.
Keep shooting up that nose. That cute nose. All right, you got the email, Flo.
I do have the email. We have an email today. We love having an email. Please keep sending us email. We love it. This one is from Chris. I try really hard not to cough through this. Thank you, Chris, for sending us this. And now I have to cough. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. You're muting yourself, but I'm gonna be you and cough while you cough.
Sorry, that was terribly timed.
It's okay.
This year, I've had the Pixel XL until I did a Jason.
Oh, no.
And I'm now using the S8, my first Samsung since the S3. That was also a very good phone. Sorry, Ron, but I do think that the S8 is a great phone, especially after putting Action Launcher on it.
Well, hold on. Before we move on, I never said the S8 was a bad phone. In fact, I believe I've complimented the build quality on the S8, and that is also a dang pretty phone. I just don't like all the Samsung bloatware on it. I approve of putting Action Launcher on it to get rid of the Samsung UI.
Yeah, but that's, you know what, Ron? Sorry. Yeah.
Come on, guys. This is Chris's space. Let Chris finish his email. A friend showed me his new phone, the Swift 2X from the UK-based Wiley Fox, which costs about a third of the price of the S8. And it's got me questioning the value of flagship phones. It's about the same size and weight as the S8. The screen is 5.5 inches, 1080p LCD. Not as good as the S8s, but still a good screen. It's slower than the S8, but in day-to-day use, that's not going to matter much. The S8 has access to more third-party accessories, and the S8 camera is just much better. Is the S8 or any flagship, maybe the Pixel 2, Worth spending 3/4 times the price of a low, medium-end phone? Keep up the great work. And my answer to Chris is that there are plenty of phones out there that are totally worth the money that don't cost as much as an S8. The Honor 8 comes to mind. The Honor 9 comes to mind. ZTE's had some phones in the $400 category that have just been absolutely great if you don't mind, you know, a couple extra things here and there. Of course, there's always caveats and compromises when you're not paying the same price as the high end. But for the most part, a phone's a phone, and some things have extra features, some things don't, and it really depends what features you want. If you pay $250 for a phone, you can get a pretty darn good phone, but maybe you don't get an NFC. So it's, you know, you just kind of think about those little compromises here and there. But the nice thing to know is that we live in an era now where you don't have to pay $1,000 for the best phone, or $700, or even $500.
I feel like this email is continuing a trend we're seeing in both our discussions as well as in some of the viewers and the listeners, the audience, questioning the value of the flagship phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. I love this revolution, by the way, because considering what today was in another tech world somewhere that we don't normally
It was a fruity day. It was a very fruity day.
You know, then there goes the fanfare for those sorts of things. But maybe it's good because maybe it's a nice appreciation of being, you know, hardworking consumer. You just want to spend like your money on the thing that's just going to work real well. And we're going to go back to the times when things used to last longer. You know,
and do you think we're in a post post premium smartphone era where it's just not as necessary anymore to always have the biggest, baddest, best phone? What do you think?
I don't think it's necessary, but the problem is we as consumers, we're not helping. You know, we're still going to go out there and buy that iPhone. We're still going to go out there and buy that Pixel XL and just fork over all of that cash. And the OEMs are going to be like, well, they keep paying for it. So
It's true.
Keep jacking up the price.
They keep paying for the Teslas, so we're going to keep making the Teslas, which
The market dictates what they put out, and you're right. If they people are going to pay, you know, $5.99, $6.99, $7.99, $9.99 for phones, you know, they'll keep making them. So
when I got my Pixel and did my review, one of the first things I said was, this phone is not for everybody. Wait until, you know, like Q1 of the following year. And it's going to be a lot less expensive. And then it's worth it. I got it because I was due. And, you know, I figured go ahead and jump on it. But that price, it did sting a little bit.
But it's got such a great camera.
It is. I needed something to as a toolbox, you know, as a tool to add into the toolbox for what I do. But it still stung, you know. I mean, my first car was cheaper than this phone.
You know, you're right. My first car was cheaper than that. But the phone is out too. Yeah, that's a very good point.
And my kid's first car will be too.
Your kids won't have a first car. They'll be driven around by autonomous vehicles.
Flying.
Yeah, they'll be flying.
But it reminds me of what I said when the Pixel came out, that it's great. The build quality is great. I would love to see if they came out with one that was half the price. Yeah. You know, if they had a lower, you know, why did it have to be? And so, like, actually, this Pixel that I picked up, I got this from a buddy who used it and then went back to iOS, long story, but I paid half the price for it. You know, like, that's one of the reasons why I grabbed it, you know, was because that price felt right. You know, I paid about the same amount that you would pay for, you know, a mid-range phone, slightly used. And maybe it's also the kind of thing where you look at refurbs and you look at ways to save money to get that flagship phone after some time has passed or price drops and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
We are a privileged bunch, too, because Ron was saying with, you know, I used to shop for electronics that way. Like, I would look for anything that, you know, was sent back and maybe I can get an out of the box model
or whatever
I could find on eBay, somebody who maybe didn't scratch up something so much,
right?
Because I wanted the new thing. I could not pay the full price.
There are ways to do that, absolutely.
And I'm not gonna lie, it stung, just like I'm sure it did for you, Ant, when I bought the Pixel and I put it on a credit card. Because it was right before my wedding, I just put it down as a wedding expense.
That.
Which is fine. That's how I just not getting married this year, so I have no justifications whatsoever this year.
You should get remarried. Rededicate yourself.
I believe that polyamory is legal in the state of California.
Well, not that.
He didn't say marry.
I'm not saying marry someone else. I'm saying remarry.
I would add on. That's the way. I'm not leaving my husband.
Well, then no, remarry your husband. Renew your vows. You can do it every year and write off your phone.
Actually, maybe that's a good idea. Yeah. I'll just renew my vows every October, which happens to be around the Pixel time.
Not telling you to get married to somebody new.
It's like, oh, there's a
I'm trying to push the envelope for women here, okay? If I'm going to push it, I'm going to push it hard.
It's like moments after the announcement, oh, there's a new flagship phone. Guess we got to get married again.
All right, so when's the date?
You know, so like you said, Flo, it stung, but this thing has a outstanding camera.
Yeah, I also took it with me on like every trip, and that's all I needed. Granted, my husband was taking the actual nice photos. But all I needed was the phone. This is all I use.
Well, and you're a photographer, Ann. So
that's true.
Really appreciate the phone.
It doesn't sting as much now because I've actually sold images that were shot on the Pixel.
Wow.
Oh wow. That's
amazing. That's the way to do it. See.
So I'm like, okay, maybe I'm getting a little bit of an ROI on it. You know.
Yeah. But,
took a little bit.
Like, kind of amazing,
like
though.
You said, it becomes a tool in your toolbox.
I'd be really curious to see, too, if you ever have a chance to, like, maybe a photo or two that you've sold, because I'm very curious, like, a real photographer, what they can do with a Pixel, because I'm just a regular old person here trying
to stick it in our chat.
Cool. And also, for those who don't know, you can go to antpruitt.com and check out his photos online. A lot of photos there as well. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take a break and thank the sponsor of today's episode, and that is LegalZoom. I have been a user of LegalZoom services for years, since before I worked here at Twit. I got my my will and testament done through LegalZoom shortly after we had our first daughter, and it was the easiest thing in the world. So I'm a huge fan, so I'm stoked to have them on board. When you run your own business, you know that time equals money. It's not just an old saying. It's a fact. So why waste your valuable time dealing with issues that LegalZoom can help you with? You may already know that over 2 million people have used LegalZoom to start their businesses, but LegalZoom's services do not end there. They offer so much. Running a business comes with taxes, contracts, hiring employees, basically a lot of fine print. And that's why LegalZoom built a network of independent attorneys that are licensed in all 50 states. They can provide the advice that you need to get through the daily grind of running your business. And you don't even have to worry about billable hours, since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. Instead, you can count on upfront pricing and clarity. Invest your time and money in growing your business and let LegalZoom help out with the legal stuff. For special savings, be sure to enter promo code AAA in the referral box at checkout. Make sure and put that in there. That's AAA for special savings at LegalZoom.com. And we thank LegalZoom for their support of All About Android. All right, we're going to continue on this hardware train. Ron, you've got the next one. Take it away.
Yes. So even more hardware. We're coming off some big announcements, especially Samsung with the Galaxy Note. And, you know, some concern over how the Galaxy Note 8 would do after the debacle of the Note 7. And guess what? They're doing A-okay. In fact, Samsung says the pre-orders of the Galaxy Note 8 were the highest ever for the Note series, and they topped the Note 7 pre-orders over 5 days, 2.5 times over. Of course, this is timed with the iPhone announcement that happened earlier today, blah, blah, blah. And they're saying they've got 650,000 pre-orders in 5 days. So not too bad. I guess my prediction that the Note brand was dead was wrong. Mea culpa there, my fault. But also looking into the future, Samsung is looking to bring its foldable phone into the market in 2018 in the Note lineup, which makes me very excited. In fact, just earlier today during the Apple announcement, I was saying to some friends how I really want a foldable phone, and the Note might be my solution. It's going to have a bendable display. And we've talked about the rumors about a bendable display over the past. But this is the first time that Samsung has acknowledged its plans for a foldable phone. And honestly, bloatware or not, I love it. Sign me up right now. I will put money down.
Did you hear that, Samsung? Ron said You would put money down.
Put that on your product page.
If you can make a nice foldable phone, though, don't make one of those foldable phones where like the crease is still there after you put it back into a straight line.
Don't do that.
And it can't be like as thick as a book or anything like that. Like I want like science fiction movie foldable phone. Yes. And I will join the Samsung fan club.
Oh, that's a bold statement. Yep. You heard it here, folks.
Oh, man, this video, by the way, is so much fun to go back to because it's so cheesy and awkward and cringeworthy. But
look at that.
You guys remind me, what is this that we're looking at here?
So this is a video, this is a promotional video that Samsung used on stage at an event. Oh, God, it must have been 3-4 years ago at this point.
This must have been,
illustrated their folding phone concept. It was like a vision of the future. And so this is like one of the few actual examples legitimate from Samsung that we have of this idea. Now, mind you, that's an old example. And it's funny when you see the front, you're like, wow, that is really old. But it kind of illustrates
so cool.
This like transformation from a tablet to folding, you know, like a book, and suddenly becomes a phone that you can use. And the video itself is just incredibly cheesy and hard to watch without.
I love this
on.
Video. This video is great. Look at that. Look how cool that is.
Yeah, that's cool. So what just happened basically is a dude touched a button and a screen popped out.
Popped out of a little candy bar
like a
thing.
Pez. Yeah. Like a Pez.
Like,
and before that, the whole premise was this woman in a coffee bar and there's an annoying guy with the Bluetooth headset and the fedora and just being an annoying hipster, and she's ignoring him while she's talking to these guys with these new cool Samsung tech, like the foldable phone or the phone that pops out of a pen. I love that video. But hey, bring on the crazy form factors. I don't know. I mean, this is me.
Well, and you know, and Samsung is now saying sometime next year if things go right. So that's a plus, right? This will happen eventually. It'll be a part of the Note brand. Like this is meant from what he said.
Oh, so it's going to be like the Note Edge. They're going to maybe launch it in tandem and have a little.
Yeah, I would imagine this would. Yes, exactly. Yeah. It would be kind of like an experimental extra Note thing.
I'm down to try that. Okay. Yeah. See you next time.
All right.
See you next year, Samsung.
See you then. The leader of the Samsung fan club is going to be there at the front of the line waiting.
Let's make sure to put this show into the books. Okay. September 12th, 2017.
All right.
I know you have the whole sheeple thing when it comes to iOS, but in my experience, the Samsung folks, the Samsung fans out there are just as gung-ho and nuts about their products.
And Samsung
and
a whole marketing thing about the Note 8 and its fans and how, and I wouldn't be surprised if those fans of the Note were the reason that the pre-orders were so high on the Note 8.
You had that crop of fans that missed out on the Note 7, so they got the discount. And then you had the people that probably wasn't due for the upgrade for the Note 7 however many years ago. So they were due for the Note 8. I mean, it just seems like it was another way of padding the stats, in my opinion. But, a gung-ho fan base.
Yeah,
and I got to admit, I said after the Note 7 exploding that Samsung wouldn't be able to recover from the brand. They'd have to rebrand that line of phone and all that sort of stuff. And to their credit, they went out there. They owned it. They apologized for it. They took responsibility. They released a phone that clearly over 500,000 people want within 5 days. So what do I know?
Over 500,000 people. Yeah, that's... Yep.
Yeah,
their hardware. I really do like their hardware. I'm in the same camp as Ron, where you give me the hardware, but take all of that overlay stuff off of it, and I'm a lot happier.
It's actually not that bad anymore.
It's still pretty bad.
It still is what it is. They've definitely improved, though.
It's improved. Yeah. There's other stuff that comes with it, too. There's Dex, guys.
I mean, I like Dex. You know, I like Dex.
There's a certain crop of people, and I would imagine most of us here are probably included in that. That would probably still complain if there is any customization whatsoever. You know what I mean? Samsung, I doubt, is going to go full stock on their, like Pixel store.
It's funny because going to Ant's point about the sheeple. Going to Ant's point about the sheeple idea, that comes from the idea that there are folks who are loyal to a fault of Apple products and loyal to a fault of Samsung products. I fall under that loyal to a fault for Google products. I totally own up to that.
Yeah.
And
same
part
here.
of it And part of it, you know, boils down because, like, I was at work today and I was talking to a guy I work with while the Apple presentation was going on, and he just took out his wallet. And he's like, "Okay, Tim, take my money." And I was like, "So you're just going to get it. You're just going to get it without even, you know." And he's like, "Yeah, of course. It's the next thing."
Right.
And I was like, "All right, you're going to get the 8 or you get the 10? He's like, "Oh, I'm going to get the 10. He's like, "Absolutely. I need to get the latest thing." And I kind of rolled my eyes. And he's like, "Yeah, but," he's like, "I have an Apple TV. I use a Mac. I use iTunes and Apple Music. I'm plugged into their ecosystem."
That's
what happens. Yeah. And so same thing with Samsung. Samsung built that ecosystem. Google built that ecosystem. And we've all kind of taken up our flags, and we fly them with pride. And so I get that. You know, I make fun of it because, you know, the Apple cult people just buy whatever they give them. But at the same time, you know, like you give me a new Google, you know, new version of Google Sheets and I'm dancing in the streets, you know? So, yeah.
I would love Google
Sheets.
Raise
your hands if you have a Logitech review.
Oh man, I held out on that one.
I still use that thing.
Do you?
Oh, wow, really? Wow.
It's serious.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it's the only thing that integrates with my, satellite provider.
Oh,
satellite!
I'm surprised it's still running.
I watch sports, Flo. Duh.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
interesting. God, I didn't know that the views are still out there and running.
Yeah, version 3. Whatever it is, honeycomb.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too funny.
It's pretty old. Wow, that's impressive.
It was funny though, because like the same thing where like my friend who commented about Apple pretending that they invented 4K and HDR, he was saying, he's like, "Yeah, no, you know, Roku's better, Amazon Fire Stick is better, but I use Apple TV and I love it." Like, and he knows the other products are better, but because he's dialed into that ecosystem, he's happy with it. It's weird. It's a weird thing.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. Asus is bringing its Zenfone 4 series to the U.S. and Canada, apparently, beginning with the Zenfone 4 Max 5.5-inch device. This is the one, if you remember, I think it was last week or a few weeks ago, Asus unveiled or announced a whole, like, family of Zen 4 devices. There were, like, 5 of them or 6 of them, and I think our worry was that it was just a little too much. Too much differentiation and not enough focus. Anyways, they're bringing pieces of this catalog to the U.S. and Canada. This particular one, the Max, is the one with the huge 5,000 milliamp hour battery. It has a 5.5-inch 720p display, Snapdragon 430, dual camera array on the back, $199.99. So definitely not
$185 on AliExpress, don't mind waiting a month.
I was going to say, how long are you waiting for that phone? They're going to offer 3 others from the lineup, as far as I could tell anyways, by the end of the year. So if you've been holding out, there you go.
I'm going to try and hopefully see them this week.
Mm. Yes. At MWC?
Yes, at the MWC America.
Are you there tomorrow?
I'm going to troll around tomorrow.
You should come tomorrow. I will be there too.
Oh, really?
We can high five.
Let's meet up. Let's high five.
Nice. Okay.
All right,
we'll high five.
All right, well, now's the story I've been waiting for all night for us to get to. So, Flo, please tell us.
Yes, okay.
Oh, wow, I didn't know.
Okay, so Red's upcoming phone, Hydrogen, will have a holographic display, and now we know more about the technology behind that. Lightfield Tech from display partner Leia Inc., and that's Leia like Princess Leia, rest in peace, Carrie Fisher. Traditional 2D display on board. Also, the Lightfield Tech works by stacking LCDs with multiple directional backlights. Okay, that's neato. That helps produce 3D effects with no need for special glasses. It will It will use a special video format called .h4v for 4D, that's four-dimensional content rendering on screen. And creators who want to get this phone can employ a 4-camera setup to shoot the required angles needed to help display it on the phone. Also, it can convert 2D and 3D imagery into the new 4D format, which is pretty neat. So,
I love this. I think this is amazing. I think Red is crazy. I think it's hysterical. I'm under the impression that the fourth dimension is time. And so now my head is exploding.
Yes. This is the thing we don't know about this phone, is that it bends time. They will get the final laugh.
It might happen. You never know. They could have some sort of wizard behind this.
Is the red phone actually a time machine? And if so, that makes it worth the hefty price.
I mean, look at all, like, if you watch the promotional video, it looks to be a time machine transporting you back to the day before prom.
Yeah.
Before you made those bad decisions.
Yeah, definitely.
Set the course for your life.
Knock Biff out.
This is amazing, by the way. This technology, I think this is so cool.
Pretty cool. Right?
Imagine using this in your car and placing the phone on your dash and just having the map, like, just kind of popped up there for you. The directions just sort of popping in so you don't have to look at the screen.
The physics of light reimagined.
See, here's the thing. This is innovation. We make fun of it. We make fun of it. We say it's a gimmick or whatever it is.
Right.
This is innovation.
And then Apple uses it in a press conference and people go, 4K? Wow.
Yeah. 4D, yeah.
No, anyways.
Well, yeah, their 4K announcement today. Yeah.
Right.
Calling back to that. I mean, this is cool, right? It's so easy to fall into the jaded, like, oh my God, who is this necessary?
No, this is cool, darn it.
But it's cool. It's different. I'm curious to see it. I want to see it in person and see.
These guys got a lot of money.
What's that, Amp?
I like the fact that they're trying that and it's on a mobile device, because we all know that most content is consumed nowadays on mobile devices.
Like 90%. I was watching TV on my phone last night.
Not 90%. I mean, I think it's a lot, but 90% is
totally exaggerating, by the way. It's not 90%. But not scientific.
But going back to the Apple announcement, I was complaining to my friends once again that that all the phones are the same, and because they were saying how the iPhone X look, they're like, sure looks like your Android phone, Ron. And I was like, yes, it does.
You mean the LG V30?
Yeah, yeah. I've been saying this on the show all summer that there's no innovation in phones. There's nobody really, I like Nexbit because they did something different with the design. I liked Essential because they pushed the boundaries, or Xiaomi because they pushed the boundaries with the bezel. Like, I want to see some, more than just a faster processor and a better camera, and slightly more durable and waterproof. Like, do something crazy that changes the way we think about phones, and whether it's a foldable display or 4D technology in the display, like, do something that's different.
Or a battery that charges from light so that I don't have to actually place it on a charger every night, even if that charger is wireless, and even if that battery did last for 5 days.
I mean, about like with Samsung just going to a 5-inch display or 5.2-inch display many years ago with the first Note. That was ridiculed initially, but how many phones are under 5 inches now?
Yeah, on the show we laughed at it. We thought we actually had people taking pictures of it out in the wild because we thought it was such a rare, crazy thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. And look at us now. We've got 6.4-inch AMOLED displays shoved into the same size we're all carrying. It's madness.
Times have changed.
Eventually they're just gonna shoot it right into our brains, and then this will be all about our brains.
This will be so silly, having a black slab that we look at when that happens.
Our children are gonna laugh at us. You know that, right?
Uh-huh. Well, that sounds like Daniel Suarez's latest book, Change Agent. Sounds just like it.
That's the future. Get used to it.
Well, speaking of that black slab, we got an email about it, Jason.
Yes.
Jake wrote in and he says, Jason, don't feel bad about the scratches on that Essential phone. I got my phone, handled it gently, but didn't notice a scratch until my friend pointed it out to me. This was within 24 hours of receiving the phone. So it looks like Jake is suffering from that as well. He says, anecdotally, I've never scratched my previous phones. The Nexus 6, Nexus 5, Note 2, Nexus S. That's a good lineup. I can't for the life of me determine how the scratch happened. I'm beginning to think it may have arrived at the scratch. Sadly, my support call went unanswered for 4 days. When I was finally contacted, I was told that because I can't prove it arrived that way, it would cost $400 to replace the phone. Needless to say, I will live with the scratch, but I am seriously bummed by the experience. If you see friend of the show, Andy Rubin, tell him I'm disappointed in Essential support. And Jake, that's a bummer, and that's a real stark contrast to the support stories that we've told about Google with Nexus 6 support, Nexus 6P support, and things like that, where you called with any problem, they're like, okay, we'll send you a new one. And it really made you feel good about working with that company. It's a bummer that Essential's not taking that route. It's a big bummer. Well,
essentially, all you need is a case that's going to hold that display together and not crumble in your hands. Yeah. Scratches are okay, right?
How are you got scratches, Jason?
Well, I mean, I got a scratch on the front display and a few over here and a few up there.
So does Leo know about?
And, oh, yeah. No.
Oh, he knows.
He knows. Yeah, no, we spent a good 15 minutes on this on the new screensavers last weekend.
Yeah.
Basically, came to the conclusion, at least I did, that I say don't get this phone. Unless you absolutely have to get something that's like different looking. Like if it's all about style for you.
I want to be different.
Sure. If you got the money and it's all about style for you, go ahead and get the Essential phone. Wait for Series 2. They've got to do better than this. Like it really feels like a one-trick pony in a lot of ways to me.
Nay.
Jason, I like how you were literally trying to just give it back to him on Saturday.
he was like, you can keep it till Tuesday. And I was like, I've already wiped it. If you wanted, you could take it. He's like, you should have it on Tuesday. I was like, you're right. You're right.
I should take it.
So the big question that everybody's asking me is that now that it's been out, now that I play with it, Jason, now that you play with it, am I going to get one or not? Based on Jason's recommendation and his advice and the fact that I picked up a Pixel for a cheap price, I'm going to hold off on the Essential for now. I still support it and I still like it. I would like to see some improvements. The camera has got to be improved, right? I mean, that's the big – and I got that sense when I saw the Essential event when every time I talked about the camera, they pushed to the modular camera. And it was like obvious they didn't want to talk about the phone camera. So that's a bit of a flag. But
yeah, the camera performance was just awful.
I'm still supportive of it. A friend of the show, Andy Rubin, I like that they're trying to do something better. Maybe the next go around will be a little better. So we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. I do like what they're doing. And I mean, as far as materials and design and everything, there's a lot on the surface that's very unique about this device, but it's just not enough. You know what I mean? For what you're spending. And I don't know. I say you wait. I have faith in Andy Rubin and they have funding. They're definitely going to come out with some more devices. I would say just wait. I think they're going to learn some valuable lessons on this one. I just expected a little bit more from Andy.
So underwhelmed by it, guys. I'm sorry. I'm having a really hard time. Just like Essential, not so Essential in my life.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Even though Andy Rubin's behind it, there's so much other good stuff out there.
Yeah.
We still have a Pixel 2 coming.
Win, Flo, win.
I don't know, but it's coming.
I thought you knew.
I know, it's right there on the horizon. I'm waiting for it to come to me.
Come to us, Pixel phone. Come to us. Okay.
We're gonna interrupt that sermon to thank our last sponsor. we want to thank Tracker for supporting this episode of All About Android. And Tracker is fantastic because, listen, your phone, your wallet, your keys, you're staying up at night because you know that they're plotting against you, right? They're hiding somewhere. They're trying to make you late. Like, these things have a mind of their own, and they don't want you to find them. Well, 8 years ago, Tracker changed everything when they released their first tracking device. And now they've done it again with the all-new Tracker Pixel. With the Tracker Pixel, you can track your Pixel, and you never have to worry about losing things ever again. The Tracker Pixel is the lightest Bluetooth tracking device on the market. You can place Tracker Pixel on whatever you tend to lose, your keys, wallets, even your cat. It's small enough for you to fit on your smallest items. And when you misplace an item that has a Tracker Pixel attached, use your smartphone and a 90 decibel alert will help you find it in seconds. All right, I put a tracker on my keys. I haven't lost my keys since I've done that. Think about it. It adds up. The tracker even has a powerful LED lights so you can find your items in the dark. Lose your phone? Just press the button on your Tracker Pixel and your phone rings even if it's on silent. You can even locate your item if it's miles away, and this is the coolest thing of them all because every tracker user is part of the largest crowd locate network in the world. So put the power of everyone else who has a tracker to work to help you find your stuff. That's so cool. And Tracker's 30-day money-back guarantee means you truly have nothing to lose. So go to thetracker.com/AAA and save 20% off any order. That's thetracker, thetracker.com/AAA, and you get 20% off. And we thank Tracker for their support. That's the Tracker, no E in Tracker, TRACKR.com/AAA. 20% off. Awesome. Thank you for letting me not lose things. Thank you, Tracker.
Thank you, Tracker. All right, and it's time for the battle of the year, or at least the week. It's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
And checking in on last week's poll, and click on results here. It'll flow. Good work.
Oh, sweet.
Good job.
Adobe Sign and Fill wins with 39% of the votes. Talking Goat somehow came in second place.
Okay, I appreciate, by the way, the Mateo, the fan base for the goats, okay?
I appreciate it.
You mean the trolls, the goat trolls?
I feel like maybe Talking Goat wasn't up to Mateo's potential, in my opinion. Yeah, I think he could have come up with a better goat app. But obviously, I was out. You guys thought differently. So there you go. Way to go, Mateo. Second place, 22%. Amazon Prime Video, 20%. Amazon Prime Video and Talking Goat on the same footing. Okay. Motion Stills came in fourth at 18%.
And we were tied for third for a little bit, Jason. I checked it yesterday, and so you got a little bit of a push towards the end there.
Okay.
So with these results, and again, anybody's ball game, 36 weeks of the arena here, and guests are sitting in first place with 93 points. Flo and I are tied for second with 92 points. Remember, Flo is in dead last. And Jason, you're sitting in last with 91 points. But to point things out again, there was only a 1 point differential between last, second, and then second and first. So literally every vote counts.
Every single vote.
Yep.
Including the vote that you're about to make tonight. Yep.
I'm up first because I came in last. So, yep. Jason, I hope you installed my app.
I have it.
It is called Noten. And I like this app because it is a dead simple execution of a very handy tool, which, listen, before, don't press the button yet. Back up, Jason. Back up. I'll tell you when to press it.
Choreography.
I'm doing my intro here. So I've talked a lot about to-do apps and productivity apps and things like that and great ways to track what you need to do. But oftentimes there's just that one little small thing that isn't worthy of putting into Todoist or Wunderlist or whatever to-do app you have, but you can't forget about it. Your wife or husband texts you and says, oh, we need milk, pick it up from the store, or don't forget to send someone this document, or you know, when you get home, you've got to do X, Y, and Z or whatnot. They're the little tasks that you – it's the kind of thing when you like wake up the next morning, you're like, oh, I forgot to send Jason that email, right? Those kind of things. So what Noten allows you to do is to add a very brief note, and then it adds it to your notification pane until you swipe it away, and that's it, right? So now, Jason, if you kindly would –
Can I do this now, Ron?
If you tap on the Noten icon, it gets a little window that says notes in your notification, your text here. So just say email Ron, right? Just you got to send me an email about the show, right? And you hit the plus button, and then now it's in your notifications. And so if you swipe down right there, email Ron, that will stay there until you swipe it away. So when you swipe it away, it's gone.
Whoa.
And that's all the dang thing does. Isn't that great?
I gotta tell you, that's pretty cool.
Right? I mean, it's just a simple, elegant, keep me in, you know, a little reminder how often of all the things we use with our phone, the notification pane is what we probably swipe down the most. I get a text message. I get an alert. I get, you know, I'm turning Wi-Fi on or off, right? And
it has so one job.
It has one job. And so every time you look at your notification pane, you'll be reminded to pick up milk or to call your mom or to like Jason just typed. And you can add a bunch. So leave that one there, Jason. Bring another. And now add another and just add some more garbage or bear and add that. Right. And so now you've got two things in your notification, right? So it's a great way to keep things in mind. So there you go. Noten, it's totally free, it's well designed, and it's effective. There you go.
Noten.
That's all you got.
What are you doing? Just noten.
Noten.
I'm just here noten and stuff.
I like that it's, if you look at it, noten, notes in notification. Noten.
Yeah.
Notes in. Noten.
Notes in. Notification.
Note in. Yeah, so there you
Where's your note in? Notification.
Yep.
Excellent. That is Noten. Notin. Do a search for it, and you will find it. My app is a new version of an app that we've had on the show prior. If y'all like to not use the official Twitter app, and you want to use one made by a third party developer, that's nice. You've probably heard of Phoenix for Twitter. Mm-hmm. And you know, we know how Twitter works, right? They only issue a certain number of tokens for a particular developer. Once they reach that, no more new users on that app and whatever. Also, developers got to make a living, and so they can't keep updating the same app. So what the developer of Phoenix has done, which is something that, like, Chris Lacey, for example, does this with Action Launcher, is when the developer has a major version update, like a full version update of the app, releases it as a new app. So for $1.99, you can get the new version of Phoenix, get it on the ground floor if you want a third-party app for Twitter and you don't want to go. And I think the benefit here, at least one of the big benefits with Phoenix, aside from kind of like the new renewed kind of attention to design and everything, keeps things all material, all that kind of stuff, is the customizability. So if we go into settings, you can, you know, go to town as far as like what columns you have shown, which is pretty standard, but you can go into here into the appearance and you can kind of play around with the different themes. It has a bunch of themes built in, so you can kind of preview that up there. But if you want to get in there and really kind of play around with it, I could have default. I don't have any other emoji installed on my phone, but if I did, I could determine which emoji actually display inside the app, rounded or square avatars, because a lot of people don't like that Twitter's going with the rounded avatars. I don't mind them.
Facebook just did that too, and I'm pissed.
I know. You're the one that doesn't
I'm anti-round avatars. I'm anti-round avatars.
And you can change kind of, you know, how compact and wide and, you know, with the font size of everything on the main feed, whether the tabs are shown there, which I think now I've got the tabs. Yeah, there we go. But yeah, so this is if you liked Phoenix and you wanted a big update, this is definitely a big update with a lot of customization. You can also go in there and kind of play around with, you know, how you get notified and on what you get notified. It can also intercept the push notifications that come from the Twitter app. That might make it easier if you happen to have the Twitter app installed to just intercept those notifications that way. And you can kind of dial that in so that you aren't over notified or you know, picking out exactly what kind of things you are notified on. Streaming from mobile networks, so you activate that, and that means that when you're actively using the app, it will stream things in real time. I tend to, these days, set my update interval when it's in the background to nothing. I'll check Twitter on my own terms, and thankfully you can do that. That way I'm not bothered all the time with stuff. And just a lot of customizations. Oh, this is a big one. Okay, undo. So you have the feature in here to set up to, what is it, 20 seconds of undo time. So you can you can have it so that on you know, obviously you can set it off, but you can have it only on tweets or tweets and replies, and you can give yourself some undo time so that the moment you hit post, you get a little toast notification that counts down and you can undo that post. It doesn't actually post within those 20 seconds as I have it set right there. It gives me time to read it after the fact. And I've done it a million times where you post something and then the eyes that you give it after you post it versus the eyes that you gave it while you were composing realize that you misspelled or you left something out or whatever. So you undo it, pulls it back up for edit. You can make the change and post it. I don't know why the official Twitter app doesn't do this, because I feel like it's essential.
Because then we wouldn't have drama.
Yeah, that's true.
To be fair.
That's true. It's actually very true. But yeah, and you got all of your standard Twitter controls as well. So it's Phoenix for Twitter. It's Phoenix 2.0. If you go to the Play Store and do a search for Phoenix, you'll find it. $1.99, and you can check it out for yourself.
I will say I dislike the token limiting that Twitter does on these apps, but I do like that it's created an environment where the developers need to innovate to justify making a new version of the app.
Yeah, and
that's
totally.
I like that. So that's cool.
Yeah, I would agree with that completely. Awesome. So that's Phoenix 2.0. All right. Ant, I have your app installed. I will attempt to show it off. I have not logged into Adobe. But anyways, tell us about it, and I'll try and show it off for you.
All right. So I use Adobe Capture. And the reason I use Adobe Capture is because I'm a Creative Cloud user, not only for photography stuff, but I also use Premiere Pro and After Effects and Illustrator and so on and so forth. What I like about Adobe Capture is it allows me to, you know, literally capture my creativity just regardless of what I'm looking at. I can be walking down the street somewhere and notice that the sky just looks really, really nice. I like the colors of the sky. I pull my camera up, snap a picture of the sky, and I could take those colors from the sky and make them as part of a color scheme inside of my Creative Cloud. You can do it with patterns. You can do it with objects. I just posted in the chat, in the chat room, where I took a picture of one of my drones and used Adobe Capture to pull it into Adobe Illustrator. And I used that drone graphic there to make my lower third. Well, not a lower third, but an intro or something. Yeah, it was an intro. But this thing, I know everybody doesn't use Adobe Creative Cloud because it costs money. I mean, granted, from a photography standpoint, you can get it as low as $10 a month. But I think there are a few other options out there, too, if you wanted to just use one or two different apps. But I have the whole suite, and this thing just makes everything seamless for me. You can pull things into Photoshop, pull things into After Effects, Illustrator. Some things can go into Premiere Pro. It just depends. The color things really works in Premiere Pro. If you want to put some footage out there and put a lookup table on top of it, or basically a filter, you can tell Premiere Pro to look in your libraries, and it'll do an overlay on your video to give it a whole new look, with instead of going out and buying all of these expensive lookup tables. It's really, really, really nice app.
Wow. That's pretty good. That's very cool. That's really cool.
I forgot about Adobe Capture. I'm so glad you brought it to the arena. This is a great utility, especially for Creative Cloud users, which I am also one, and I have the $10 a month one, which is great. Photoshop and Lightroom.
I didn't even know there was a $10 a month one. I'm paying like $50 a month because I have Premiere too.
Ah, yes.
You got Premiere, so.
Yeah. So, which I just used Premiere tonight. So there you go.
Nice.
But this thing, it really comes in handy if you're just trying to, if you see something that strikes you, you know, just snap a picture of it, and then you can play around with it the way Jason is on the screen here.
Oh yeah,
you know,
this masterpiece can be yours.
Yeah, someone can use that. You know, you guys know Virginia Poltrack. She could probably use that. You know, just little stuff like that.
Shapes. This library has no shapes. What is a shape? What's a
that
shape?
That right there would be a shape.
Is the shape is that the way laptop. You made your drone, right, Ant?
Yep. I just took a picture of the drone, and it made a shape. And when I got to my desk, I went into Illustrator, imported that shape, and just tried to pretty it up a little bit. See, that's the raw image of it. It's all little, got all the little spots and artifacts around it. But once I got into Illustrator, I could clean it up and then just do what I wanted to do with it. Instead of trying to figure out how to draw a drone shape inside of Illustrator, which is not easy for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I figured out how to get my keys of my keyboard, but not that one and not that. Not the Q and not the R.
If you get rid of the E and the Q, and then you could have a WASD, and then we could make you a gaming logo.
That would have been awesome.
Dang it. I'm not so creative as I thought I was.
Yes, you are. You're just in a different realm.
Yeah, that's true. Awesome. That's a lot of fun to play around with. It's called Adobe Capture CC, and it's free to play around with, right?
It's free. The only time you have to worry about an actual cost is you're paying your Creative Cloud subscription. Other than that, you know, it's just an app you play with on your phone and try to manipulate things on your phone. But having a subscription,
that's the real power.
Those assets go wherever you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, now I'm like creating a brush or something.
And that's how Jason's going to make his next album cover.
There it is. There it is.
Piece of cake. Cool. See, I did that.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome.
Very cool.
Put on a gradient background. You got yourself.
And dominate, Jason.
Right on. Adobe Capture CC. Check it out. That's awesome. All right, Flo, you are the returning winner. You go last.
How exciting. Yeah. All right, so I had the flu. It sucked. It was terrible. I was in bed with a fever, but I didn't realize that it was a fever because I haven't had one in such a long time. I forgot if this was a fever or not. And I mean, I've felt body chills before. So what I did is I had this app called Ada. If you don't mind going over my shoulder, please, Maestro. I had this app called Ada that I downloaded a while ago, and I was kind of waiting to bring it on the show because I wanted to be sick to try it out. What Ada is a personal health assistant that lives on your phone. Now, this is a Berlin-based app developer. All of the information that is on here is private, so it is HIPAA compliant. Nobody is seeing your data. But the great thing about it is that you can use it to log your health. So let's say you got a doctor's appointment coming up and maybe you want to see, like, why am I feeling nauseous every single day? Is it like anxiety? Or is it the fact that maybe I'm not eating properly? Or, you know, am I not sleeping right or something?
Is it lupus?
I don't know. We'll find out. No, I don't know. So what I did with this is when I was like sick in bed with the fever, I started a symptom assessment to figure out, like, do I have the flu? And the nice thing about Ada is that you don't have to just do it for yourself. Like, you can also use it if, say, your kid is sick or, you know, your mom's not feeling well and you want to help her out, help her figure out why she could be dying or something. That was a joke. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I take that
what's
back.
Going on
I'm really sorry.
What's coming out of Flo's mouth and what's going on in the chat room are just like, wow.
Oh, man.
All right. You guys are making me cough. Don't. Okay, let's do an assessment.
You should look that up on Ada.
Let's do an assessment. So my symptom is juicy coughs.
Ooh.
Jesus.
Juicy was an interesting word for this.
You've been sitting next to me. Okay, couldn't we?
I don't know if that's a clinical diagnosis.
Would you describe your coughs as juicy?
So I typed in mucus. I'm trying not to laugh through this. I'm sorry. And, you know, it gives me many things, mucus and poo, mucus in the back of the throat. That's what we're going with. So increased mucus in the back of the throat. I don't know if it's increased, but we'll select this as symptom. How long has this been troubling you? Well, this has been troubling me for about a week to a month. Do I have any other symptoms? No, I did just get over a flu. So you're just going to kind of run through this. No, my nose is not red. I don't have a blocked nose. Nope. No itchy eyes. Yes, I have a cough.
This is never ending.
Am I coughing up blood?
It's thorough.
Oh my gosh.
Does your nose feel itchy? No. No difficulty breathing. Listen, guys.
I really
want to
know what you have, Flo.
You've been sitting inside of a doctor's.
It's always lupus.
If you guys have been sitting inside of a doctor's office, These are things that, does your voice have a nasal sound quality? Yes, it does.
While you're waiting for the doctor, you're self-diagnosing. And then
yes,
you can compare his or her results to yours.
And it'll just keep asking you this. Have I had sexual intercourse? Like all of these things.
Here it is.
You can.
This is what I get for being the only woman on this show.
This app is
going to
give the same conclusion the chat room gave.
Do I have swelling anywhere in my face?
Wow, I think it just wants to know a lot about you.
I want to show you guys where this is going to go, but like, no, I don't have sensation. I don't have chest pain. Yes, constantly clearing my throat. No headache.
My goodness.
No difficulty swallowing. Last question. It even says here. How are your symptoms changing? They're not as bad as they were. All done. Okay, now we have put a report for my possible symptoms.
Here we go. It's going to say pregnant
Jesus
or lupus.
Christ. Okay, this is not a medical diagnosis. But I can, so you are going to put in your personal information, like how much you weigh, what your age is, gender and all that. And then it'll give you possible causes. I could have chronic laryngitis. I don't. I know I have the common cold. That's what's going on right now. Because I had the flu last week. But it'll give you, and it's 8 o'clock, so my phone just went yellow. You know, it'll give you different things that you might have. It'll give you the evidence for why you might have these so that you kind of know where it's coming from. And then you can look at more statistics instead of going on WebMD. And tell if it was helpful. And I'm going to skip this part, and I'm not going to rate you, but I am going to go to my assessments. So it'll tell you the assessments you've had, and you can go to your condition library as well and kind of have all this information stored off. So when you do go to the doctor, you can present this to them. Now, Ada works with every, like, ailment. It works with skin problems, urination problems, sexual health problems, infectious diseases, pediatric concerns, neurological disorders, mental health issues. If you're feeling depressed, you want to figure out what's going on. Why do you have anxiety? You can use that. It works perfectly for the flu, which I what I used it for. And because of Ada, I found out that I should only be concerned about my fever when it is over 103 degrees Fahrenheit. I was only at 100.8 at my highest. No, excuse me, 101.2 was at my highest. But I knew that because I wasn't at 103.
You're okay.
I was okay. I just had to rough it out.
It felt awful.
And it told me, it said, it gave me good advice. It said, you know, go take a warm bath. Like, don't make yourself too hot because you need to be whatever. And so I used those to kind of help myself get over my darn flu. And now I'm here. To you. So that's Ada. It's free. Granted, you are giving it your health data. So though there are some implications to that. But, you know, I think I'm going to use this for a little while. I think I'm going to take it to the doctor's office. I've got a couple of doctor visits coming up, just some routine check-ins. And I think
I really want you to take a picture of the look on the doctor's face when you pull out your phone and show them this, because I got to imagine most doctors are going to roll their eyes and be like, don't do that.
Yeah. Okay, if I do this, I will come back. I'll let you guys know I did it, and I will give you a slight update, or maybe I'll tweet about it or whatever.
Full report.
So,
yeah.
I want to show you this app, doctor. And yeah, I can see.
Well, it's easier than keeping a journal.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, people are going to people in the chat room are, you know, railing against self-diagnosis, and I mean the reality is people.
Yes, but the reality
have the access to the internet.
That
and everything.
Guys,
people
when you're going to the doctor's office, you need to have some data going in there, and it's hard sometimes to track your symptoms over a period of time.
Sure.
And to those who are laughing about this, you know, there are people out there who have hormonal, you know, things that pop up only, you know, during a certain time of the month. You have people who maybe they do have lupus and they do need to track their symptoms.
Yes,
in all honesty, I was
referencing House. That was the joke.
Sarcoidosis. Yes.
See, because when you tell me lupus, I just think of like Real Housewives because they all say they all have it. Because that's why. Anyway,
because they watch
another
House.
Thing.
There it is. Yeah.
For another day.
Yeah, I would have missed the Real Housewives. Tie-in.
So that's Ada on Android. If you want to check it out, it's free.
Awesome. ADA. Ada. It's free. Check that out. Excellent. So we've got four apps that are ready. One of these apps is ready for you to vote for it anyways. twit.to/AAApoll334. twit.to/AAApoll334. You can vote for Noten, Phoenix 2, Adobe Capture CC, and Ada. Place your vote. We'll check in on it next week. Victor, though, has the power to select.
Oh,
and
See, Noten. Victor appreciates a slick. Oh, verify that recapture, Victor. You got to make sure it works.
It might be a robot, Victor.
There.
I'm quite so sure. But
Victor
Noten.
Is not a robot.
Noten, and hey, there's votes for everything.
Hey, it's a good arena.
Nice.
Yes. Excellent. Well, that is it. And we're going to check in on that next week, as we usually do, and see as we're getting closer to the end of the year here. This is
another year
battle. Love it. Aunt Pruitt, it's been a pleasure having you on the show tonight.
Thank you for taking
time out of your schedule to join us and be on All About Android. We really appreciate it.
It's totally my pleasure. I appreciate the invite.
Right on. We'd love to have you back soon. Tell people kind of what you're working on, anything you got in the works, or just general idea of where people can follow all the cool things you're doing.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at @Ant_Pruitt. Check out my YouTube channel. It's just subscribe to Ant Pruitt. It's all one word. But what I have coming up here soon is just more content over on Tech Republic, as well as Groovy Posts. And I will be attending the Adobe Max conference next month.
That's a fun one. Have fun there.
Oh, yeah.
Groovy Post. I think this is my first time being alerted to. It's called Groovy Post?
Yep. GroovyPost.com.
Oh, nice.
One of my contacts at The Right People, which helps me get into different freelance gigs, knew someone over there at Groovy Post, and come to find out we've known each other for a while. So I'm going to start writing over there too. They do a lot of how-to stuff.
Oh, right on. Nice.
I actually think some of the how-to geek people are over there too.
Okay. All right. That would make sense. Nice. Well, keep up the great work, man, and would love to have you back sometime soon. And thanks again for taking time. Appreciate it, Ed.
Thank you.
Ron, what's your story? What's going on in Ron's head?
What's the story, Morning Glory? All right, so here's what you want to do. You want to follow me on Twitter at RonXO. That's where I'm talking nonsense. Go to ifanboy.com. Listen to my podcast where we talk about comic books and comic book TV shows and movies. We got a new show coming out this week about The Tick, the Amazon series that's based on a comic book, The Tick. It was very amusing. I recommend it. Spoiler. You can do all that at ifanboy.com. If you enjoy me bantering with Tom Merritt, you can go to damnfinepodcast.com. We finished Twin Peaks. It's over, but the podcast is not over. We're going to be back. In fact, we're talking scheduling our next episode, and we're going to be back in October to talk about a book, the next Twin Peaks book. So if you're into the Twin Peaks theories, subscribe to the podcast. You'll get our next episode where we'll be examining some of the theories. That's about it. That's it. It's after 11 o'clock. I am ready to go to bed.
Yeah, it's time for bed for Ron. All right, you'll be going to bed here in a few minutes. Flo, what about you?
I'll be quick. I've got stuff brewing, but until then, I mean, you can find a couple things. I posted at PCWorld.com. I got a Moto Z2 Force review up there. Just did a review on this very cute little, just very quickly, I'm going to show it to you. It's very cute little Michael Kors watch.
Oh, fancy.
New watch that came out last week. It's upside down.
Fancy.
Very watch that came out last week. This is a $400 watch. It's really nice. So you can go check that out, PCWorld.com. And also, I got some Waze tips and tricks that you can check out there that just posted today. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter, Snapchat, and Instagram at All That Flow, and find me at FlorenceLyon.com if you want to get in contact with me otherwise.
Right on. Thank you, Flo. We didn't really get to mention it, but Victor, his phone, he has it in a case, and he has a really nice screen protector on it as well. Is it a Zag screen protector? Yeah. And it took a spill, and the entire display just goes to show, like, even with a case, like, your phone is not impervious. I mean, it's shattered.
Shoot.
It is, like, destroyed. It's
I took all the precautions and stuff, and so I'd like to say sorry, Jason.
What?
Wow.
No, for anybody that I said, why don't you just put a case on it?
Yep. Even the case can't save you sometimes.
I had, had the orange gel, that gel stuff, the impact gel.
Yeah.
The case is a lie, though. That's good.
I got to tell you, that's a new twist to Casegate, for sure. Wow.
The case is a lie. I love that. I'm sorry that happened, Victor, but I feel you. I've been there too many times. You can find me at yellowgoldmusic.com. Almost went to, you can go there. It's still there. About.me/JasonHell. Sure. Why not? Enjoy it.
Or JasonHell.net.
Or JasonHell.net. Yeah. Lots of me. But that is it for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. It's always a lot of fun. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email or video mail at AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. Our subreddit is twitaaa.reddit.com. We have show notes and past episodes that you can find at twit.tv/AAA. That's also where you go to subscribe to the show. Please go there and subscribe, and our episodes will download magically for you, be it in, you know, iTunes or Pocket Cast. You can also find our stuff on YouTube, all over the place. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That is it for this week. We'll see you all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.